Ekhatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekhatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are taking a deep breath and looking up, way, way up, to unlock the secrets of a technology that's, well, essential to your modern life, yet completely invisible.
Mm.
We're diving into Pauli Cerruzzi's masterful analysis, GPS, an essential invisible utility.
And this book, it's really quite transformative, not because it, you know, teaches you how to use a map app,
right,
but because it treats GPS as this fundamental piece of global infrastructure. Cerruzzi's core idea is that GPS is just so much more than a navigation tool. It's truly an invisible utility.
Like the internet or electricity?
Exactly. Just as foundational to, well, pretty much everything we do now.
And what jumps out right away in the sources, I think, is that central realization, the real power of the global positioning system, isn't actually the position, the P. It's the T.
The time.
The ability to send out this hyper-accurate, globally synchronized time. That's what makes the system so incredibly vital. I mean, we all get location, right?
Sure.
But the idea that the entire global financial system runs on these, like, perfectly timed nanoseconds beamed from space, that was a real eye-opener for me.
Absolutely. And it matters because we've basically built our modern world around this technology without really ever seeing how it works.
It's completely taken for granted.
Totally.
Yeah.
So Cerruzzi helps you look past the map on your phone, look at the complex web of physics, Cold War politics, and these huge policy decisions that make sure, you know, your bank transaction is logged correctly or your rideshare driver actually finds your corner.
It's a massive story, really multifaceted.
Yeah.
So before we get into the satellites and the physics, let's talk a bit about the historian who mapped all this out for us. Who is Pauli Cerruzzi?
Well, Cerruzzi is an eminent historian of technology. He's a curator emeritus at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum.
Ah.
And his background is really key here because he understands that unique convergence that created GPS. You've got aerospace, electronics, and computing all coming together.
He wrote a history of modern computing, didn't he?
That's right. So he really gets how these enormous complex systems are actually built and integrated.
So a historian specializing in aerospace and computing.
Yeah.
That's kind of the perfect perspective for this, isn't it? He's not just giving us the technical specs.
Precisely. His academic background, it lets him move beyond just the engineering mechanics. He digs into the social, the cultural, the political context surrounding this tech.
Right.
He's telling the human story, you know, the rivalries between different military branches, the big policy debates, the unintended consequences.
Yeah.
And he distills all that immense complexity into a narrative that's actually very accessible for, you know, the general reader.
Okay, so the book itself, it works like a comprehensive biography of GPS, you could say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It tracks the whole life cycle, right?
Yeah.
Starting with a problem that humans have wrestled with for, well, millennia.
Exactly. He starts right there, connecting GPS back to that ancient human challenge of knowing your precise location. You know, the famous longitude problem.
Yeah, the chronometers.
Right. For centuries, sailors were just lost out there longitude-wise until the marine chronometer finally cracked the time element needed for accurate navigation. It's a brilliant way to frame it because it immediately links positioning to timing.
And Cerruzzi makes it clear, the modern solution didn't just pop out of some peaceful research lab.
Not at all. It came straight out of the pressures, the urgency of the Cold War.
Okay.
The narrative really dives into that immense geopolitical pressure, the massive funding that was driven by needing precise guidance for ballistic missiles, and crucially, the nuclear submarines carrying them.
The nuclear deterrent aspect.
Absolutely. Without that kind of non-negotiable military need, the technological synthesis required, including, you know, some pretty mind-bending physics we'll get into, it just wouldn't have happened, or at least not nearly as fast.
And then he follows the thread from that initial military project through these really pivotal policy decisions that open the system up to the world, right up to the explosive commercial and social consequences we're all living with today. It sounds like a really detailed history, but aimed at the curious general reader.
That's exactly the goal.
Okay, let's jump into that detailed history then, starting with the military origins. Cerruzzi is clear that GPS didn't come out of nowhere. It built on earlier radio navigation systems like Loran.
Right, the older systems.
And then the Navy's transit satellite system, which was launched way back in 1960.
Hmm.
The problem of where was always tied up with When?
Always. But the immediate catalyst, the thing that really kicked it into high gear, was Sputnik in 1957.
The shock of Sputnik.
Yeah. The U.S. military suddenly realized they desperately needed reliable, instant position fixes, especially for their Polaris nuclear subs. That became the primary non-negotiable driver that unlocked immense amounts of funding.
So by the early 70s, you had these different ideas floating around. The Navy had something called timation, focused on putting really accurate atomic clocks in space.
Focus on the time aspect.
Right. And the Air Force had Project 621B, maybe more focused on the ranging.
Kind of competing concepts, yeah. But the real turning point, the synthesis, happened over one single weekend. A Labor Day weekend meeting in 1973.
Wow, one weekend.
That's the story. That meeting was where military officers, engineers, they basically hammered out a compromise, merging those competing ideas into a single unified system, Navistar GPS.
Navistar navigation system with time and ranging.
Exactly. And history gives a lot of credit to Colonel Bradford Parkinson, often called the father of GPS, for really championing that unification and, crucially, selling this incredibly complex idea to the Pentagon brass.
Quite a feat.
No kidding. And this is where we get into the foundational science. How does it actually work? Well, the system uses this geometrical technique called trilateration.
Okay.
You, or rather your receiver on the ground, calculates your distance from multiple satellites. And it does that based on the tiny, tiny fraction of a second it takes for the radio signal to reach you.
So, if I know my distance to one satellite, I'm somewhere on a huge imaginary sphere around it.
Right.
If I get a signal from a second satellite, the intersection of those two spheres is a circle, and a third satellite signal narrows it down to just two possible points on that circle.
Exactly. And you only need that fourth satellite signal to figure out which of those two points is you, and also to get your altitude, your precise 3D position, latitude, longitude, and altitude.
Plus resolving time ambiguities, right?
Right. The fourth one synchronizes your receiver's clock, too. But the absolute key, the thing that makes it all possible, is precision. The atomic clocks on the satellites have to be unbelievably synchronized.
Okay, so time is everything. And I remember Seruzzi talking about something that sounds, well, completely abstract Einstein's theories of relativity.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you need to program general and special relativity into a navigation satellite?
It's fascinating, isn't it? But it's not like an optional extra for accuracy. It's an operational necessity. If you don't account for relativity, the whole system breaks down.
How so?
Well, the satellites are subject to two different relativistic effects. First, you've got special relativity, because the satellites are moving incredibly fast. Think about 14,000 kilometers per hour.
Wow.
Time dilation happens. Their clocks actually tick slightly slower than clocks on Earth by about 7 microseconds every day.
Okay, slower because they're fast. What's the second effect?
That's general relativity. The satellites orbit way up high, about 20,000 kilometers up, where gravity is weaker than it is down here on the surface.
Right.
And Einstein predicted that in a weaker gravitational field, clocks tick faster. For the GPS satellites, this effect speeds their clocks up by about 45 microseconds per day.
Okay, wait. So you've got two effects pulling in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Special relativity makes clocks run slower by 7 microseconds. General relativity makes them run faster by 45 microseconds.
Exactly. So the net effect is that the satellite clocks actually run faster than ground clocks by 38 microseconds every single day.
38 microseconds.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds absolutely minuscule. Why does such a tiny difference even matter?
Because time is distance in this system. Light travels incredibly fast, right? So even a tiny error in timing translates directly into a significant error in calculating your position.
Okay, how significant?
If that 38 microsecond discrepancy wasn't constantly corrected for in the satellite software, the location errors would pile up at a rate of 10 kilometers every single day.
10 kilometers a day, the whole system would be useless.
Useless in minutes, basically. So Seruzzi really emphasizes this point. The abstract, almost esoteric complexity of Einstein's space-time theories is literally what makes your reliable GPS navigation and, yeah, your pizza delivery arriving on time even possible.
That is genuinely mind-blowing. It's proof that, fundamental theoretical science is absolutely indispensable for practical, real-world engineering.
Couldn't have said it better.
Okay, so we have this incredibly complex, militarily funded system based on mind-bending physics. Now let's talk about how it got out into the world and the political side, the liberation of GPS.
Yeah, this part of the story really highlights how sometimes tragedy and policy decisions can shape a technology just as much as any engineering breakthrough.
The first big political moment Seruzzi points to is the 1983 tragedy involving Korean Airlines Flight 007.
A terrible event. The plane strayed into Soviet airspace and was shot down.
And in the aftermath, President Reagan made a really significant decree. He announced that once GPS was fully up and running, it would be made available completely free to civilian users all over the world.
The idea being to prevent those kinds of navigational errors from ever happening again.
Which sounds great, a gift to the world. But there was a catch, wasn't there? Something called selective availability.
Yes, SA. For almost 2 decades, the Pentagon intentionally degraded the public GPS signal.
Degraded how?
They introduced deliberate errors, limiting civilian accuracy to about 100 meters. Meanwhile, the military kept the fully accurate signal about 10 meters for
But
themselves.
they kept the good stuff secret.
Pretty much. And this policy, SA, it really held back commercial innovation for years. Businesses couldn't rely on that fuzzy 100-meter accuracy for much.
It basically kept GPS from reaching its full potential until, well, Seruzzi calls it the Big Bang moment.
Right. May 1st, 2000, President Bill Clinton ordered selective availability to be turned off permanently.
Just like that. Flip the switch.
Essentially, yes. And instantly, civilian GPS accuracy improved tenfold overnight, from 100 meters down to 10 meters or even better.
Wow.
And Seruzzi makes a really strong argument here. He says that policy decision turning off SA was arguably just as important, maybe even more important, than any single technical breakthrough in GPS's development.
Because it unleashed everything else.
Exactly. That single executive order just opened the floodgates for the commercial GPS industry. It led directly to everything from the map apps on our phones to sophisticated logistics management systems.
Okay, so SA off, accuracy up. And that leads us into the era of the invisible revolution, right? Where GPS becomes ubiquitous.
And we really need to think beyond just turn-by-turn directions in the car when we talk about how widespread it is now.
It's the hidden infrastructure under almost everything else. I mean, think about finance and communication.
Huge applications there. The precise time signal from GPS is what synchronizes global stock markets. It ensures fairness, stability, especially with high-frequency trading where microseconds matter.
Prevents cheating, basically.
In a way, yes, or ensures everyone is playing by the same clock, literally. And look at telecommunications. When you're driving down the highway, right, and your phone call just seamlessly hands off from one cell tower to the next without dropping, that's GPS timekeeping. It ensures the handover between towers is perfectly synchronized down to the nanosecond. That's what prevents dropped calls and lets mobile networks function smoothly.
I never knew that. Okay, what about logistics and agriculture? We mentioned those earlier.
Massive impact. Every major shipping company, FedEx, UPS, you name it, uses GPS to optimize delivery routes, track packages in real time, saves fuel, saves time.
Makes sense.
And in precision farming, it's incredible. Tractors use GPS receivers, often augmented for even higher accuracy, to achieve centimeter-level precision.
Centimeters.
Yeah, so they can steer automatically, plant seeds exactly where they need to go, apply fertilizer or pesticides only on specific spots, not wasting it. It dramatically increases crop yields and cuts down on waste and environmental impact.
Amazing.
Okay.
But this total dependence, it must create some risks, right? Seruzzi sounds a warning note about fragility.
He definitely does, and it's a really important counterpoint. This systemic dependence creates genuine fragility. The GPS signal itself, coming from 20,000 kilometers up, is incredibly faint by the time it reaches Earth.
Faint-like, easy to disrupt.
Very easy. It can be jammed quite easily where a stronger local radio signal just overwhelms the receiver with noise.
Okay.
Or even worse, it can be spoofed. That's where someone transmits fake GPS signals to trick a receiver into calculating a false position or time.
That sounds dangerous.
It can be extremely dangerous, especially for things like aviation or shipping. And on top of that, the whole system is vulnerable to natural events, particularly powerful solar flares, which can disrupt satellite communications.
So essentially, we've built huge swaths of the modern global economy on this free, incredibly useful, but ultimately faint and vulnerable signal.
That's the crux of it, which
Wow.
means resilience becomes absolutely paramount. We can't rely on just one system.
And that's where the other systems come in.
Exactly. That's why the development and deployment of other global navigation satellite systems, Russia's GLONASS, China's Beidou, Europe's Galileo, are so important. They provide redundancy.
So if one system goes down or is disrupted in one area,
receivers can hopefully switch to another, ensuring that global commerce and critical services don't just grind to a halt. It's about not putting all our eggs in one basket.
Right. Okay, let's try and distill some of the major themes, the big takeaways Seruzi wants us to get from this whole story.
Yeah.
First one seems to be this idea of dual-use technology.
Yeah, it's such a powerful example. You have this technology born out of the most secretive, high-stakes military requirements guiding nuclear weapons.
Literally the Cold War's edge.
Right. And it transforms, through policy and innovation, into this global public good that drives massive economic growth and everyday convenience. It really shows how military investment, if managed correctly, can spin off huge civilian benefits.
The second big theme, and maybe the most surprising, is the primacy of time.
Definitely the biggest revelation for many people. The positioning part, the P, is what we see and use directly. But the timing function, the T, is the invisible infrastructure underneath the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Your daily routine, how your phone works, how money moves around the world. It all runs on this nanosecond level synchronization system from space that you never, ever see.
Third theme, abstract science as practical engineering.
The relativity example is just perfect for this, isn't it?
It really is.
It proves that fundamental, theoretical, blue sky research stuff that seems completely disconnected from the real world is actually indispensable for breakthrough engineering. Without Einstein's abstract theories, your GPS just wouldn't work, period.
And the final key theme Seruzi highlights is this systemic dependence and fragility.
Yeah, the cautionary note. We've integrated GPS so deeply into almost every critical infrastructure, finance, comms, energy grids, transport, that we've created this enormous potential single point of failure.
Makes you think.
It should. We have to be really mindful of the risks that come with relying so heavily on this amazing, free, but ultimately quite delicate signal, whether the threat is jamming, spoofing, or just a big solar storm.
Seruzi's book seems packed with these kinds of powerful ideas, things that make complex concepts really stick. Let's share a few of those core statements or paraphrase ideas he drives home.
Okay. I think my favorite, just for the sheer irony, is this one. What began as a system to deliver nuclear weapons with precision became the technology that helps us find the nearest coffee shop.
That really captures the transformation, doesn't it?
It really does, the massive shift in purpose.
And to hammer home the science point, without applying Einstein's theories of relativity, the entire GPS system would fail in less than 2 minutes.
Puts a very specific, very short timescale on just how vital that theoretical physics is.
For anyone interested in governance or policy, this one's key. The decision to eliminate selective availability was as important as any technical breakthrough in GPS development.
Absolutely. It shows that policy choices can be just as powerful, if not more powerful, than engineering ones in unlocking a technology's potential.
And then thinking about the societal impact, GPS has created a world where privacy and precision exist in permanent tension.
Mm-hmm. That inescapable link. The system that gives us pinpoint accuracy also enables pinpoint tracking. It's a constant balancing act.
So how can listeners, you know, apply these insights in real life? What's the practical takeaway?
I think the biggest application really is a shifting perspective. It's developing an awareness of this invisible infrastructure all around you.
Seeing the unseen.
Exactly. So next time you, say, use a mobile payment app or check your cell signal strengths or even just see a delivery truck go by, pause for a second. Recognize those satellites, 20,000 kilometers overhead, silently making it all possible.
And for someone maybe working in a field that relies heavily on GPS logistics, finance, agriculture, surveying.
For them, the book is a lesson in risk assessment. Seriously, understanding that your entire operation hinges on the resilience of that faint signal.
Right.
Understanding the real vulnerabilities to jamming, spoofing, solar weather, it should push you towards proactive planning.
Hmm.
What is your backup? What's plan B if the GPS signal disappears or becomes unreliable?
That seems crucial. Any more personal applications?
Well, there's a small personal challenge Seruzi hints at regarding spatial cognition. He suggests, maybe, our deep reliance on GPS navigation apps might be subtly eroding our own innate navigation skills, our ability to build mental maps.
Mm.
So maybe try it sometime. Try navigating somewhere familiar or even slightly unfamiliar without automatically reaching for the app. Just engage those older parts of your brain. Keep those wayfinding skills sharp.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Okay, wrapping this up then. What's the final thought or maybe the biggest surprise you took away from Seruzi's analysis?
For me, it's that recurring theme, how successful technology becomes invisible. We just take it for granted. And Seruzzi's real achievement here is making this fundamentally invisible system visible again. He reveals the epic backstory, the military ambition, the scientific genius, the political battles that silently fuels basically every minute of our modern lives.
Yeah, making the invisible visible. I like that. For me, I think it was the power of those political decisions.
Yeah.
The story of GPS is just such potent proof that choices made by governments, like deciding to share a military system globally, or the specific act of turning off selective availability, can be the most powerful catalyst for economic growth and waves of innovation that change the world.
Absolutely critical moments.
So the final provocative thought we want to leave you, the listener, with is this. Given our profound, almost total reliance now on this single, quite delicate global system, a system vulnerable to everything from solar flares to deliberate jamming or spoofing, what steps should we as a society be taking now? How should we be investing in alternatives, in backup systems, to ensure the resilience of global commerce and our way of life?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.